949-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
You know, close to, I don't know how close we are to the possibility of a war with Iraq. We are all hoping that this is not a necessary thing, but if it is, the last few weeks and certainly the last few days, we've heard about preparedness and things that we are supposed to have in our homes. We wanted to check in with a few neighborhoods around the country. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, who's joined us on the line from Western Estates, California. Bobby, how are you doing?
I'm good, Phil. Thank you.
And your husband, Steve, is there with you?
Absolutely, yes.
Tell us about, as a homeowners association president, as the block captain for the preparedness committee, are people really worried about this war? Are people getting prepared with, I heard, duct tape and things like that?
Oh, Phil, we really are taking it seriously. President Bush of the United States said that we need to be prepared with equipment and food and things for 72 hours. As the homeowners association president, I have a dual responsibility. I have the block captain job and the HOA presidency, so our family is supplied for 72 to 98 hours. And that's also to make sure that other residents aren't hoarding more than my family. It's very tricky because people do misunderstand.
Well, I can understand. So, in other words, your family has more food than the others.
Let me explain, Phil. As a block captain, yes, the short answer is yes, we do. We have
You have more food and more supplies than the other families.
Yes, but please let me explain, because it is interesting. As the HOA president and as a member of the block committee, we are part of the arc of organization, so that if something wrong happens, Phil, we are there to help people out. I always use, it's funny, my husband says that I shouldn't. I use the Love Boat. Did you ever see that TV show?
Yeah.
Okay. They had the captain, and they had, I forget, it was a hamster, the gopher or something, and they had the black one. Was he a gopher?
I know the guys you're talking about. So they had a captain, and they had all the people
that took care of everyone, and that's what we have to do. As a result, I think a lot of people fear, perhaps, Phil, that we're getting more than our share, but that's not the case.
All right. As a homeowners association president, then, you have 72 to 98 hours of supplies.
Yes.
Well, what? In other words, the other people could get more or less.
Well, no, not in our neighborhood, Phil. What we do is that we make sure, there are so many stupid people out there who are going to go out and get too much and are going to hoard, and that's what we're trying to prevent.
All right, so you guys get 72 to 98 hours. Your neighbors get 72 hours. Why?
You know something, Phil? I have three sons. I love them very much. No one is going to hurt them. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. I'm the block captain. And I think you know what I'm saying. What I'm saying basically is this. We are going to have the supplies that we need.
The reason why I'm asking you is Tom and Lisa Presnell, they live in Western Estates on Marigold Drive.
Yes, I know them.
All right, they claim that you and your husband have gone into houses looking over people's pantries, looking over their foodstuffs.
Phil, that is right. As the Homeowners Association president and the block captain, we passed an addendum to our CC&Rs, and the Presnells are complaining, Phil, because they were well over their 72-hour limit.
Did you take items from their house?
I'm sorry?
Did you take items from their house?
Phil, we took out, they had pie crusts, they had pumpkin pie filling. We took out cans of whipped cream. In the middle of a potential radiological attack, in the middle of a potential...
But understand, you went into their home.
Yes, I did, and if I could finish my thought, I'd appreciate it.
Go ahead.
We took out whipped cream, pie crusts, Jell-O. They had gallons and gallons of apple juice. In the middle of a radiological attack, a possible bacteriological attack, this kind of hoarding is ghoulish and unpatriotic.
And well, how do you know how much they need? You know, in other words...
So the Presnells, I mean, they have the same size family as we do.
So they have three kids.
They have Ricky. They have Judith. They have poor little Max, who... what is that, Steve?
Well, he's in a special chair.
I don't know what it is, but he's in it.
He's hit by a train.
And so the point is obvious. The boy doesn't need to eat solids. So he doesn't...
All right, so they got a little boy there who you say doesn't need to eat as much, so they don't need as much food as you because he's in a chair?
He's in a chair with a tube of some kind. What is the thing that's...
I mean, if we breathe through the tube, it helps him type.
All right.
So we took out the I don't understand the nature of your questions.
What I'm saying is this. The complaints that were lodged, that we got wind of over the news service, was that this family said you had gone into their home and taken things out.
Phil, we don't do it when people are there. We are not intrusive. We are only taking enough food so that it doesn't exceed what our family is allowed. That's the most important thing. We do leave a notice on the front door.
I got to ask you about the legality of this, but before I do that, there was a couple, David and Carl. What time is it, by the way? I'm going to give our phone number out here, okay, Bobby? Can you hold on?
Certainly.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show here. By the way, we are live at the HBO United States Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, Colorado. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley. They are the president and vice president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates. With the people of the United States saving up supplies and collecting things, they are going into people's homes to make sure they're not hoarding. Now, the question I have for you...
Phil, due to the possibility of terrorism...
Well, hold on. Let me ask the question.
But, Phil, we remove the food to a storage area. It's not like we take it away.
Yeah, but that storage area is in a supply yard owned by your husband. Isn't that correct?
It stays there. It still belongs to the people, but it stays there until the terror thing is gone.
All right. Do you know David and Carl Meredith?
It's David and Carrie.
David and Carrie. I'm sorry.
Yes.
They claim you removed antidepressants from their home, prescribed by a doctor for Mr. Meredith's bipolar disorder, which is a very serious thing. He wound up assaulting his wife.
Phil,
hold on. He wound up assaulting his wife. What do you say to these things?
Antidepressants are for the weak. And right now, our country needs the strong. Enough said. And I think...
Bobby, let's talk about the legality of this breaking and entering.
Here's what I found out from... Listen, first of all, I really resent you saying it's illegal, and I'd like you to stop that.
Ma'am, you're going into people's homes...
I'd really like you to stop that and allow me to explain.
So you're saying as the president you can go into people's homes, as the president of a homeowners association, make sure they're not hoarding food?
My sister's husband, who does real estate law and was ROTC, he told me that there is martial law which can be declared by a responsible officer of the homeowners board. And in
martial law is reserved for the president of the United States. It is not reserved for a homeowners president.
Phil, I am telling you what a lawyer said to me. A lawyer. Which is not anything that you are, and forgive me, Phil.
I understand that, but my understanding of martial law is that only the leader of a country, the commander-in-chief, somewhat with those powers...
No, that is not true. An attorney told me...
Your sister's brother.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, my sister can't marry a lawyer. He said to me that presidents of any entity can declare unilateral martial law.
How are you gaining access?
To the homes?
To the homes, yes.
I get a pass key from David at our security shack. We're very unobtrusive. We simply get a key to the house, where the food is, where the supplies. And many times, Phil, we find people don't have enough food. And we leave a notice on their door saying that, you know, there isn't enough food for the children, and it is our responsibility to call social services.
All right, we're on the verge of a possible war, Ms. Dooley, if I may just make this point. We're on the verge of a possible war. All we care about are the children, and I have children, and...
Well, Phil, that's the key, the children. And if you think I'm going to let those boys be harmed in any way by Lisa Presnell, who is a serial slut, who is a little...
All right, the personal lives of these people...
I understand that, but there are motivations for things.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. In the middle of a preparation for war... Some homeowners associations are actually going into people's houses to make sure they are not hoarding food. And I question the legality of this. You say that as a homeowners association president, you have the right?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. And Phil, I believe me when I say, if there was any other way, we'd do it. But this is the only way. And there's an old saying, grin and bear it, just sort of bear down, kind of, you know, bite on something soft, and it'll go away.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go here to Karen. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, this is Karen from Salt Lake.
Hi, Karen.
I cannot tell you how angry I am right now listening to this woman. I have a son who is handicapped.
Excuse me. First of all, I have said what is my
constitutional
of the United States that I get to say.
What handicap does your son have?
My son has cystic fibrosis. And I just cannot.
I don't know what. Is he in a chair with a straw or?
He is in a chair. And they would take something from my son.
And the whole
son.
Thing with the straw, you know.
Well, they have a straw on the chairs, and I.
If you came into my home, and you did anything to my family, lady, I would take you down. I don't care what kind of president you are or who you think you are. But if you think you're going to people's homes and take advantage of people's children.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm talking about saving people and families. I'm talking about
going into. All right, hold on, lady. Going into somebody's house, breaking into their home.
This is not breaking in. I am the president of the Western States Homeowners Association.
Oh, you know what? You're a evil woman.
All right. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Can we dump her? You see what's happening here? We have people who have handicapped children.
I understand that, Phil.
Well, your reference to a little boy in a chair who eats nothing but soft food, and the fact that he's in a chair with a straw.
Phil, if you saw the special on Stephen Hawke, or Hawkup, he has a straw.
I saw Stephen Hawking. He's a brilliant man, and yes, he has a straw. Here is Will. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi. I can't even believe that you would go into somebody's house, and I would blow your ass off with a shotgun, lady. What is your name?
Mm-hmm.
What is your name?
And what is your problem with what my homeowners association has empowered me to do?
My problem with what you've got going on is that you're a president of some little condo board or whatever you are. You think you're all important. You can go into somebody else's place. You have absolutely no right to do that.
Well, you know what? Our CC&Rs were addended. There's an addendum to the amendment of the...
It's an addendum to your CC&Rs.
Right. And it says that we have the right in times of peril...
So you're defining the time of peril is the president is calling up you, so you personally
right.
can well, go
we're
to
on
my
the verge,
private
we're
residence
on the verge of a possible war.
That's exactly correct. And you know something? If you're not hoarding food, what have you got to be afraid of?
You have no right to go into my place
if
and choose what you want.
Food.
What if my child needs something?
If your child what?
What if my child needs some kind of food or something? What are you doing going into my place? I would
what
choose
food
if I saw you in my place.
Excuse me. Why would you have pie crust? Why would you have pumpkin
it's
pie
stuffing? It's none of your business. None of your business.
You don't need any of that. You don't need any of that.
How do you know what people need? Maybe the guy likes pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin pie.
Well, then get some after the war ends. Go down and have all kinds of pumpkin pie.
Oh, so you're going to decide whatever
he's
going to eat inside of
you. All right, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. The problem that I'm having here is a woman who is the president of a homeowners association taking on what I think are sort of extra, what do you call it? You call it extra legal powers? You know, even if we have a war, we still are a group of citizens here who care about each other.
You know, Phil, all of the stuttering you're doing and all of the mumbling and everything doesn't put away the fact that my husband and I...
Ma'am, I...
My husband and I have three boys up that I will protect. And if you have a problem, you can take it up with my husband. He'll be home on Friday.
Was that in a movie? It was Apollo 13, I heard that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley, let's hope it doesn't come to a war. If it does, we've seen so many things about, you know, food. Should we hoard? Should we not? Should we have this? Should we that? Certainly you don't want to hoard. Certainly want to have what you need. Share with your neighbors. Let's be people who are friendly with each other. What this woman is doing sounds extra legal by going into people's homes and then leaving a notice saying, you have too many pie crusts. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley join me on the Phil Henry Show here. We are in Aspen, Colorado. Now, Bobby, Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley, you have a family that is complaining. You've been into their house. You're looking for food. You have been in their bedrooms.
Phil, excuse me. There are places where people are hoarding food. I found that it was important for me to bring it to the attention of the Homeowners Association. They had pornography. I felt it was important to bring to the...
You were talking about the fact that they had diapers. What is that?
They have a two-year-old child that is not diaper trained, that is no longer, that is not potty trained. I'm so confused, Phil, what you said to me.
Are you telling me that you're looking at people's pornography?
I am looking into the homes of these people to find out if they're the kinds of people that we can have living next to us. They had diapers there for a two-year-old.
The only diapers we have for my wife.
Steve, a lot of the things...
I understand what you guys are saying, but it's going beyond now looking for food. Let me go over here to Leah. Is it? Leah, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say, make this quick comment to this woman that I think you're living in the wrong country. You need to be over there with Saddam Hussein
because you are
insane, too. You're taking your little privilege of a president, and you are walking all over it. These are not, people in communities like yours don't want people like you, okay? You're abusing your privilege, and you are anti-American. I have not heard anybody be as selfish as you. You only care about you and your family, and as long as you guys have your food and supplies that you need, you can give two shits about anybody else.
All right, hold on, Leah, hold on for a minute, and watch your language, okay, hon? I'm sorry, but...
You've got a real garbage mouth there, Leah. And the other thing I want to say...
And you're not even using any curse words. Every word that comes out of your mouth is, I can't believe you're an American. Where did you come from?
I'm an American citizen.
Did you land from Mars or something?
I was in
If you are
American,
I think I speak well for everybody in this country, and we'd like you to leave, because we don't need Americans like you.
Well, you know
we don't want people
like you
in this country.
All right, good. I'll stay out of your trailer.
You're
park,
a communist,
I will tell you this much. That we are trying to make sure that people like you don't go down to the little general and hoard all of the big bags of marshmallows and get all the
Hawaiian punch. All the marshmallows. You need some psychological counseling, what you need to do is quit worrying about everybody else and worry about yourself. Because
you're the one with the problems and the issues. Yeah, that's good advice, Leah.
You know something, Phil? If the terrorists explode us, I want to make sure my neighbors are not perverts. And
what possible... What does it get to do with anything?
Do you only care if your neighbors are perverts if the terrorists hit?
Yes, if a terrorist attack...
That's the only time you care is if it's a terrorist attack? Why don't you go join them? You're just like them.
If the terrorists attack us, the last thing I want living next door to me is a man who reads High Society.
What difference does it make? Who cares?
Do you hear what you're saying?
Listen, young lady.
Worry about everybody else and worry about yourself.
I am the mother of three.
From this show and all the viewers that call in.
Yeah, all the viewers.
Nobody's on your side.
Oh, we're sharp today down there in Fort Lauderdale. You know something, Leah? You got a potty mouth for a young lady. I'm older than you, and I demand respect. I demand the respect that I should have as an older woman.
Respect, okay?
Now,
you don't have respect from your own neighbors.
I want to know right now, are you hoarding food? Are you hoarding food? I'd like to ask you a question. Are you hoarding food?
I haven't even tried to stock up for this event. I'm not even worried about this.
Right, so you don't have any more cans of Hawaiian punch than usual.
No, I don't have over cans. Actually, I'm ready to go on vacation. So I don't have any food in my house right now because I know it's going to spoil.
Well, it probably doesn't keep there much anyway, does it? Okay, between you and your sister. Your sister.
Okay.
You're out there, woman.
That's right. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Do homeowners associations have the right to go into our homes and make sure we're not hoarding food? This woman represents a homeowners association that is... They've also been taking people's antidepressant medication away. 1-800-449-8686. Talk about that?
Yeah.
We'll be on in 30 seconds.
Fine.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're on right now. Can you tell me about we're back with Bobby Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association. What's McDaniel Security?
You know something, Phil? We decided that during the duration of any terror threat, and it always makes me laugh. You people in the media never really get it. I'm the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. I need protection for my sons and for myself. You don't think Chelsea Clinton went out without bodyguards. So
wait a minute. You've hired a security company for your protection.
Yes, yes, for my personal protection. I'm the president. Other presidents have bodyguards. The Secret Service and other people like that, too.
And other presidents get bodyguards, Mr. Henry.
I've never heard of a Homeowners Association president, Mr. Dooley, having bodyguards.
He's the president.
No, but I'm the president of the Homeowners Association during a war. Hello, a war. And whatever we can do to protect me and my sons from...
Well, who's going to hurt you?
Other homeowners have... my boys went out with some of their daughters. Some things were said.
So there's some grudges.
Yes, there's some grudges because my boys are good kissers and very sexy young boys. And if something happens to me, this entire community freaks out. I am the guide.
All right, I'm going to go to some phone calls. I'd like to get back into that, though. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So now we find that you've hired a bodyguard service. You're going into people's homes. You went into somebody's bedroom. You know that they've got diapers for their two-year-old. They've got porn. This is a little intrusive.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, that's not them. That's my opinion.
Well, your opinion, Phil, is fine, but I'm the one who is the head of the Homeowners Association with 1,000 homes, 4 different floor plans.
I understand that, ma'am.
And it hurts me.
Let me go over to Leslie. Leslie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Leslie?
Yeah.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm not having real problems with what she's saying. Basically, I'm a hairdresser, and I deal with people who are in the associations of different condos and things. And basically, all of you get into too many people's business. What you need to do is you need to find a place where all of these presidents can go and live and beat up on each other because you're just being totally ridiculous.
We
if
are
you're so afraid about people hoarding food... Why don't you go ahead and order your own food? What does it matter? When I go to the store, I stock up on things, and it's not because of the war, and it's none of your business. And if anybody needs to be protected,
what are you buying?
If anyone needs to be protected, it's your children, because you're going to drive them as crazy as you are.
Oh, my sweet Christ. You are talking about my children. I love my boys. Don't get between a dog and his meat. And my question is this, Leslie. Just exactly what do you have in your home? Now, you say you shop, and you say you stock up. On what?
What does it matter to you? If we consume the food that we eat, what does it matter?
What if we
I'm
run out of things?
I'm not getting this whole thing. I think that you're on a power trip here.
My boys love Top Ramen.
Homes?
What if there isn't any? My boys love Diet Coke with lemon. What if there isn't any? My sons like... Go-Gurt. What if there isn't any?
You know, if that's a concern to you, what you need to do Go-Gurt. Right now is go get some Diet Coke. Make sure you have it so that when your kids are hungry, they at least have their Diet Coke.
Go get some Diet Cokes, Bobby.
You know, you're very rude for a hairdresser.
Really?
I have
You're psycho, lady, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I lived in your association, I would be moving out right now. And it's not
because
I have too many Twinkies or porno or diapers. It's because I wouldn't want to live beside of a net like you.
You know something? I don't think the terrorists are going to care that you have that big supply of final net. I think that, so don't worry, sunshine. And as far as I'm concerned, I am protecting not only my family, but everybody else that lives here in 6,000 square foot homes. Think about that, Leslie. 6,000 square foot homes. Do you know what that looks like? Have you been in one?
Yes, it is. Maybe you should move out of the neighborhood.
Well, look, I got to agree with Leslie. Now, this is a working woman.
Here we go with the working class hero thing. You're always on the side of the callers, aren't you?
No, the lady works for a living.
And I don't?
I'm not saying that you don't, but she talks with people. And nobody's hoarding anything.
But I asked her a question. She couldn't answer it.
She says she likes Twinkies. Is that right, Leslie? You said you had Twinkies?
You know, I was saying I don't have a lot. It doesn't matter.
Hesitated.
I mean, it's a question. I'm not getting it.
My question is this. What do you have? Do you have tuna? Do you have tuna?
Yes, I have tuna. I eat tuna.
Okay, that's it, Phil. Right there. That's what I'm saying.
She's got tuna.
That's what I'm talking about. How many cans?
What's wrong with tuna?
No, there's nothing wrong with tuna, so long as you don't have 50 cans in your pantry. And, you know, and what else do you have? You have the market cornered on Aquanet because you happen to be a hairdresser. And I don't think the parents are going to care, Sunshine.
I'm a hairdresser, and I don't use Aquanet.
She's not using
Aquanet. It's none of your business. I pay for it. I work. I don't know if you have a real job because it sounds to me, if you're going into 1,000 houses, you don't have time to work like everybody else does.
Can I say something to you?
You know, you can say something to her if it's not insulting.
I want to.
If it's not insulting, because I've heard you say a lot of insulting things.
I'd like to say something, Leslie, and I say this woman to woman. Tuna sounds a little dykey. And I.
Just I said nothing insulting.
Sometimes you feel that way, but I don't normally have tuna for a sexual experience.
You know, $8 a head for haircuts buys a lot of tuna, doesn't it?
Mm. Well, you know what? I charge right. $24 per head.
Per head?
She per head.
He said per head.
No, he didn't.
With the porno in your house you're
absolutely.
Just
very good, Leslie. That's, see, Leslie, you're making a good point. You know, she's got porno on her mind.
She said she charged $24.
I know what she said. All right, listen, Leslie, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
I appreciate the point you were making tonight. 1-800-449-8686.
She said she charged $24.
What?
She said she charged $24.
Why are you whispering?
I don't want to be brazen.
We're on the radio. Everybody can hear you.
All I have to do is turn it up, honey.
Oh, all right.
All right, let's go over to a phone call here. Here is Ray. Ray, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah. Listen, this lady that we're talking to here on the radio, as she comes into my house, I would have her arrested for trespassing.
Well, but hold on. As the Homeowners Association president, I'm allowed to be in your home for a 2-minute stretch per day.
I'm in Florida, and the landlord and anybody else like that who have this association, the only time they're allowed in our house is on an emergency basis only.
What if I asked you...
Or give a 24-hour notice.
That's right. That's the way it is in California, too, right?
Well, what if I asked you, I'd like to come in just to see how much food you have, and if there's any excess, I'd like to take it out for the duration of the war. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is I work for my money, okay? So I'm not going to be giving you crap out of my house for food.
Well, you're going to have to if there's too much. And that's like,
wait a minute.
What if too much?
Look,
you know, six cans of tuna is too much?
I think so, yes. I think six cans is over the limit. I think 7 or 8 cans of the Denison's, you know, the turkey chili is fine. I think the jambalaya mix.
Yeah.
What are we doing here now? Are we talking about...
Well,
One minute, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't go into homes on wheels anyway, so I don't think that you...
I go shopping once a month, because I hate going to the grocery store. So if you come in when I just did my shopping, there's going to be a backup supply, but I'll guarantee one thing. You do come into my house, I will have you arrested for trespassing.
But I can show the police officer my Homeowners Association president card, so he's not going to arrest me.
Oh, baloney. He'll bust you. It doesn't matter.
That ain't no big deal because
I can show you permission.
You have to give me written
notice that's exactly
you're coming into my house. And if you do come into my house, I will have you arrested.
Well, you can have me arrested if you want. But the point is, if you're hoarding food, you're keeping food away from children that are starving. Children will die. Die, Ray, because of you.
And my three-year-old is still in diapers.
Look,
so
there's nobody
going to
die.
Lady.
Your 3-year-old is what?
My 3-year-old is in pull-ups right now because he's still not potty trained fully.
Excuse me, why is a 3-year-old still crapping into shorts? Why don't you have that boy in something of...
None of your business.
Hey, Ray, the way I raise my kids, it's not the way you raise your kids, and it's not the way my mother raised my kids.
Are the children still being breastfed, yes or no?
No, they have not been breastfed since
they were a year old. How old is the oldest?
The oldest is 9.
He should be breastfed.
No,
it isn't sick.
All right, listen. Okay, Ray, thanks for your call, and I concur. Have people arrested if they come into your house trying to take all of your
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Out of the house. All right. 1-800-449-8686. One of the things that I found most distressing was when you took the antidepressant medication from a man who wound up assaulting his wife because he's bipolar.
I think he can control that, Phil. My husband and I, you know, it's so foreign to us, the whole idea of depression medicine. It's so foreign. We're so strong, I guess. So I saw that, and I said, you know what I'm going to do, Steve? I'm taking that out of here, and he can learn how to work his life better. And what'd you say, honey?
You go, girlfriend.
That's right. And so we don't have a problem with our sex life, except for the fact when Steve is aware that other people have more food than us, he does have a performance issue. And I think that...
Well, I didn't want to talk about it on the radio.
Your husband can't perform sexually if he knows other people have more supplies.
Yes, that's it.
Just like the Christmas lights.
Yeah, they're blinking too much. Let me go over here to Curtis. Curtis, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I used to work
yes,
in the
sir.
Private security industry, and I'm just
mm-hmm.
a little amazed that
mm-hmm.
you're paying an exorbitant fee to have personal security for you and your sons when you could very well be using that money for the betterment of the people you're serving. I think it's absolutely ludicrous to be paying a contract fee going
Look,
into people's houses and removing their belongings,
he goes limp.
You know, under your...
I'm really
your own guy.
You're rubber
absolutely
bullet.
Out of your mind.
You shoot blanks. Is that it? What did you say you do for a living?
I used to work in the private security industry, and my point is that you're paying
right,
an exorbitant
so
fee
you
to contract
to
out
down,
to private security for what
do
you call them, bodyguards or
Why
not.
Do you have to put
that money
down.
That money
mm-hmm.
can be used to help
mm-hmm.
the people you're serving rather than
good
violating
point.
Their rights.
Very good point. And no, he doesn't make gates go up and down.
He said private security.
That doesn't necessarily mean. He could be a bodyguard for all we know. Curtis, that's a good point because there's a lot of money that they could be saving. Jose, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. All right. And here is Fiona. Fiona, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Is this person like a cat burglar or something? Because I don't want them anywhere near management of my property.
Well, you know something? I am the president of a homeowners association trying to save the lives. We're trying to save lives of children. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, then fine.
Okay, well, what doesn't mean anything to me is you breaking and entering. This is called illegal.
No, I'm not breaking and entering.
You have a pass key?
I have a pass key, yes.
Just because my parents have a pass key to my house doesn't mean I want them busting in on me all the time.
Well, then I wouldn't give
you
them the key
invited.
If I were you.
That's a good point. Here is, now I think I got Jose. Jose, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I would like to tell this lady that I come from Cuba. In 1961, during
Where?
The Day of Pig invasion,
right.
my house was searched. And I had been married in the previous month, and
mm-hmm.
I had not a lot of food, but I had enough food for about 3 weeks in my house. And I
from
was
Cuba.
Sent to jail for 4 days, and it was only 4 days because the Bay of Pig was finished in 3 days.
Jose,
and after
what homeowners
it was
association
finished,
were you in Cuba?
He wasn't in a homeowners association in Cuba.
No,
he was
no,
arrested.
Not now. Now there are no homeowners association. Now it's a dictatorship, and that's why I left.
Well, I can tell you, welcome to America.
It's what they do in communist countries. That
are you living the vida loca?
They can go into the house without any search warrant or anything.
Jose, are you living the vida loca? I bet you are. Are you living the vida loca?
No, ma'am, no.
Okay.
No.
Whatever that is. I mean,
I am
50
years old, too old to live that.
Well, I can tell you this much. Welcome to America. God bless you. I don't know what the Bay of Pigs is. I'm sorry. What is that?
That was an invasion to try to topple the Castro government. That happened in 1961, April of 1961.
Oh, all right.
Maybe you are not old enough.
No, I don't think I am. Now, the other thing I want to say is, if you could leave your door unlocked so I can get in the back during the day and just check out and see how much bags of rice you have or whatever it is. Now, where do you wash dishes?
Will you shut up?
I left my country because I did not like the dictatorship.
Yeah.
That was the only reason why I left.
And the whole point of what this man's saying is you going into people's homes and taking stuff out is like a dictatorship. And we're trying to get rid of a dictator in Saddam Hussein, not institute more of them.
I'm sorry, sir. It's not like a dictatorship. It's a dictatorship.
It is a dictatorship. Yes, exactly.
My Western States Homeowners Association? A dictatorship?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. In my country, that is called Comité for the Defense of the Revolution.
What do you mean, dictatorship?
Excuse me?
Something's got oars?
Excuse me?
Nothing. It's nothing at all.
Jose?
Yes?
God bless you.
God bless you, man.
But
I hope you become a little more democratic.
You called my husband Steve a dick, and that's all I can figure on here. But thank you, and please, you know, don't stay too long.
Jose, you're living the best country in the world, and
absolutely.
Try to become a little more democratic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jose. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Bobby, I think it's going to be tested in the courts.
Well, if it is, they'll lose.
Who?
I don't know. You brought it up.
No, I think that this is going to be tested in the courts as to whether you can go into those homes and see if they've got too much food.
Well, let them. I mean, I don't care. I'm still going to do it.
You could get thrown in jail.
Well, then you know something? The whole country's going to hell in a handbasket. And as far as I'm concerned, then, Mr. Henry, I'll move out of Western States, and I'll move into an even bigger floor plan, the Da Vinci, with not the faux granite, but the real marble. Plus,
who cares about your freaking faux granite?
Hello?
Yeah. All right.
So why don't you kiss my ass?
Okay, great. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Margaret Gray joins us, nationally syndicated columnist. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened, Phil. Grace Wu is a fact finder for me, as well as a story editor. I love garlic. I don't think I should apologize for that, but I've been forced over the last 48 hours to do that. Now, I have Grace working for me, Todd Bernstein, who is my editor.
Right. What happened?
I come in this morning, there's a bottle of Scope on my desk, left there by Grace.
Well, she told you your breath is bad.
Well, guess what? It's my office, and I have the right to smell if I want to, Phil. And you know what made us so childish? That someone can't expel gas or smell like garlic in their own office, in their own home. What happened? I think it is childish.
Are you telling me you're sitting and farting and belching and all of this stuff after a night of garlic with your co-workers?
Oh, my God. So, in other words, I'm the one who has to apologize. How childish.
Are you expelling gas in the office?
Yes, I am. This is America, Phil. And if I feel like it, if I feel like doing God damn it, I'm sorry for it.
Thanks a lot.
Now, Phil Hendry.
By the way, there is a story here that one of the contestants on American Idol has been thrown off the show, or maybe you already knew this, because she apparently appeared on a website that purported to be a website featuring underage girls, and her picture was on that website. So the producers of Fox basically said, no thanks. She's gone. Also, the Are You Hot is going to be premiering on Thursday night. I wanted to bring on Tony Neal, who is a producer and has a little bit to say about reality television shows and, you know, whether they get on the air or not. Tony, I know that you're working on your own show. I want to find out about that. What do you think about reality TV, first of all?
Oh, well, Phil, the American people have voted, and they love reality shows. This is the new wave in American television. I understand you have a television deal yourself, Phil. And reality television is the kind of TV that is low in overhead, very long on audience interest, and I think the American people have voted hands down. It's their favorite kind of television, whether it's Survivor, whether it's American Idol, whether it is Joe Millionaire. Reality television has captured the imagination and thoroughly entertains Americans week in and week out, and I think saves the networks an awful lot of money. But I think what we have is a great idea that we're going to be bringing to the networks sometime next week, probably early next week.
Now, your reality television show, you say, serves the public need. I understand you wanted to do something that would bring public service to the primetime airwaves?
That is. Well, we wanted to go beyond giving away money or a record contract, and I was sitting with my partner, Dave Holtzman, one night, and we thought about doing charity work with 65 Roses, which is a foundation for cystic fibrosis, and then I had the idea to combine the best elements of public service with a primetime popularity show. So this wouldn't be with 65 Roses. This is something having to do with children who need parents.
And so was born this program. Now, the show is called Will You Be My Mommy, right?
That is correct, Phil.
All right, and the title alone sort of bespeaks a kind of an aching heart or a yearning heart.
Well, it does. There are millions of children who do not have homes in the United States, and most of them are children ages 6 through 12. It is a very tough time to adopt, but each week on our program, we hope we can find a family for a deserving child. And we're going to do that, we hope, not only in a way that is public service, but also, we think, very entertaining.
Now, how will the show work?
We have set up agreements with a variety of shelters. We have nonprofit groups who aid children who are homeless that will allow us to showcase one of their children each week. Each week, we will have three couples who are childless, and we will also have the child there.
Can they be any age?
Generally, these children will be around 5 or 6. And here's where we will first have the child come out in some beautiful clothing, a swimsuit, playwear, and perhaps their best Sunday clothes. So the first stage is to have the child come out so the parents can see, or the prospective parents can see, how presentable the child is. Then we have the couples vote, and they show their numbers to the audience.
All right, now the couples, the couples are vying for the child. You have three couples.
In a lot of ways, I would say more, Phil, that the child is vying for them. And this is a great opportunity for a child to show that he would make a great son or a great daughter, and sort of live down the reason why they might have been placed in an orphanage in the first place.
All right, what's the next stage?
Well, then you can have them doing some household chores to show the prospective parents that they're not just kids that you take to Sunday school or play ball with, but they can also be helpful around the house, that they're children who are grateful for the opportunity to be living in a home with loving parents. And so we can have them do some vacuuming and showing the children with a saw or a sponge to show that they aren't just typical kids, but they can work. And again, a great opportunity for the child to show that they're worth the investment. And I'll tell you an interesting stat, Phil. The average American child from birth to age 18 costs a little over $1 million to raise. So this is a sizable investment. And then the parents vote again, and they show their audience the numbers.
All right, speaking of numbers, I want to give our number out to our audience. Tony Neal is a television producer whose latest project is a reality TV show called Will You Be My Mommy, a orphan child or a child who's in a foster home.
These are not technically orphan children, but they are children who do not have parents, responsible parents, or no responsible legal guardian. That is correct.
All right. And you'll bring these kids out once a week to see if a couple wants to adopt them.
If a couple wants to adopt them. In other words, it's a chance for a child to make the grade to show that he or she is deserving of adoption.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This sounds like a very emotional show. So the anticipation here is what?
Well, the anticipation, Phil, is to see whether this child will be adopted or sent back. And it is a very emotional, very compelling kind of television.
Sent back to what? To the foster home?
Sent back to their foster home, or sent back to the public agency that is handling them. Now, the final stage is the moment of truth. This is where the child gives his or her little speech. We allow the children to give a testimonial on why he or she should be adopted. And I can tell you, Phil, there's not a dry eye in the house when this happens. A lot of them tell some very interesting stories about how their lives... You should hear some of these stories, Phil, from these children about how they were burned by cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
Sexually molested, physically abused, emotionally abused, abandoned. It is absolutely fascinating, and we encourage the couples to consult among themselves while the child is telling the story. So you see, we sort of flip-flop the adoption process. Everyone wants to know, is a parent suitable for adoption? On Will You Be My Mommy, we determine, is the child suitable?
That would be hard to watch, man.
I'm telling you, Phil, again, your reaction is exactly what we want. We want people to feel that pathos for that child as he tells the story of being sexually molested or burned with a cigarette, will you please adopt me? And then, of course, the moment of truth, the final stage, the final vote is taken, which the audience does not see. The child is brought out, and we roll out the numbers slowly, and then we tell the child with a drum roll, if they're going home with one of these nice couples or going back to the shelter or to the foster home. And that, Phil, is the most powerful part of the show, because if no one wants the kid, it can be really emotional watching a child getting back into the state vehicle or the van and taken back to the orphanage or wherever he's from. And we do give them a T-shirt from the show, and which, by the way, was Dave Holtzman's idea. And I said, you are bad. You're talented, but you're bad. And, of course, he said, well, why else have you been living with me for 6 years? And I couldn't argue with him. But it's a tough thing to see. And that's the emotional part of it.
Yeah, so the child is then said, so if they don't take the child said that they have to go back,
They're told they have to go back. It is absolutely riveting television. Absolutely.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Here is Alexia on the Phil Henry Show with Tony Neal, producer. Go ahead, Alexia.
Yes, I was calling to tell the producer that it seems like he's treating children like they're pieces of meat or like they're cattle, putting them up to show off their bodies or show how well they can clean for a family.
Well, I think it's important if a family is going to adopt a child to know what kind of a child that they're adopting.
Okay, but they're people, and people change.
Of course they are. Of course they are. No, we're not doing anything to abuse the children. We are simply saying, here is your opportunity to be adopted by a good, middle-class, affluent family that can take care of you. Show them what you've got. Show them what kind of a kid you are. And it's fun to watch these children desperately try to be adopted.
Well, that's the part. See, desperately try to be adopted, because then if the child doesn't make it, they go back to what you say is the state vehicle, and they're taken back to the orphanage.
Right, but if they live in the state agency, they're going to have some mental health issues. They're going to want to do their best and want to be adopted.
Oh,
but
of course. Well,
they're
going to
have mental health issues.
Well, you have to realize how hard it is for these children to find homes. On Will You Be My Mommy, we're giving these kids a chance to find a home, and all they have to do is give it their best. And again, we're reversing the adoption process, Alexi. It's not about the parents having to measure up. Does the child measure up? And people don't often ask that question.
So how mentally healthy is this going to be for a child who nobody picks?
I think that it's no worse than what they... You have to keep in mind a lot of these kids have been burned with cigarettes, sexually molested. This is nothing compared to what they've been through. Nothing.
I'm a social worker who works with kids in the foster care system. I know what they've been through.
Absolutely. So you know that this is nothing compared to the things they've been through.
No, well, I know that this is us abusing these children over again.
You're using the wrong... This is not a view... I got to tell you something. I think your audience, Phil, is getting the wrong idea. This is an opportunity for a child, teaching them how to compete, teaching them...
Well, when you say that they've been burned with cigarettes and sexually molested, that's a horror that a child would have to go through, that a horror. But then on top of that, to say, oh, and by the way, you're not good enough to be in my family.
No one is saying... No one is saying that. We're simply saying, this isn't the right time for you. Go back to the... whatever it is that you're from. And then the next week we...
Well, do the kids get another chance to be back on the show?
Who?
The kids that you had on the show.
Do we bring them back?
Yeah. Do you bring the same kid back?
No, we don't bring them back, Phil, because the audience wants to see something new. And
because mentally it's unhealthy for these children.
No, I would disagree with that. We have staff psychologists who work with us.
You have psychologists on staff?
We have consulted with psychologists, yes.
Are there psychologists there for the children?
While we're filming?
Yes.
Oh, no, but we consulted with them, and they said it was fine.
All right, Alexia, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Tony Neal, television producer with a new reality show coming out called Will You Be My Mommy? It is a show where children who are orphans or in foster care go in front of three couples who are childless and basically... make a pitch. Will you please adopt me? They are shown vacuuming the floor. They're shown in various kinds of different little Sunday school suits. They then, at the end of the show, make an emotional pitch on why they would like to be adopted by those people. I'm having a hard time with this only because, as Tony said, these children come from the most horrible, horrible situations where they've been physically and emotionally abused, and that'll put them through this. I've got some misgivings. Our number is 1-800, and I've known Tony Neal for 4 or 5 years, and he seems to be okay. And you know him, Janice. He's never given us any reason to think that he's sadistic. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking about reality TV with Tony Neal, a producer here in Los Angeles, who has got a program called Will You Be My Mommy? This is a reality TV show that puts orphan children or children in foster care together with couples that are childless. Tony, you mentioned that the children are never heard from again. In other words, not if they lose, if they are not adopted by the couple and they have to go back to their orphanage, they're never seen again. You don't give them another chance.
Well, Phil, we've asked a couple of our associate producers, and we're also talking to Milton Dean, who owns the company that's producing our program. The idea, if we do bring back some of these children, for instance, if they are not adopted by a regular couple, we'll bring the children back for another go at it with gay couples, for instance. And we have life partners who are lesbians. We have life partners who are gay men. And they, of course, would like to adopt children. And so we do give them another opportunity, but it's not as if they're being adopted by a real family. It's a gay couple, and it has its own challenges. So what we're saying is this. You were not adopted the first time out, so you didn't win that round. But you can come back for a consolation round, but the couples are all homosexual. And I think that it gives the child an opportunity to be in a family, but it's not really a normal family.
Well, I mean, you're talking about this. Jesus, I mean, you're going to have some gay activists up in arms.
Well, I don't mean to upset the. What I'm saying is, it's not a heterosexual couple.
All right, 1-800-449. But the kid gets to come back, but he's adopted by a gay couple.
As his second go round, as the consolation round, yes.
1-800-449-8686. What do you think about this show, Will You Be My Mommy, where orphan children compete and try to get adopted by people? Paula, it's Paula, right?
Yes.
Yes, Paula, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think they're exploiting children, and I think they should all be thrown in jail.
You're talking about me, ma'am? This is Tony Neal. How
are yes.
you? Yes.
I think that putting these children in this type of position,
we're giving these children
where
a
they
home.
Are out on display, and if they don't cut the mustard, then they're put in their little van, and they're taken back from whence they came.
No, we are giving these children a chance at a home. And
you are giving yourself a chance at big bucks.
And when
you
the children
are
come back...
You are exploiting children.
No, not at all. Not at
oh,
all.
Oh, you I are
think
too.
I think you misunderstand the meaning of this program. It's defined...
No, I think you are there for the big bucks. You are not there for the children. You are not there for the parents.
I don't see anything
you
wrong
You are
Paula.
There to make... money.
Paula,
when's
everyone,
the last time
every
you
job
spent any
has,
time?
Every job that everyone has is to make money, but it's
also
it's not to do
to
some good.
It's also children.
To do some good. I'm not
you
exploiting
are
children.
Exploiting
I'm giving them a home.
Well, let me jump in.
The worst possible
jump in. If
way.
the kids don't make it one time, they come back.
They can come back and be adopted by gays.
Oh, yeah. That's, so, look, if you don't make it the first time, let's see if you can toilet out the second time. You are exploiting
children another
to make
chance.
Money. You should be put
no.
in jail.
We are giving
you
children.
Are as bad
Paula,
as the
you're
people
the kind of that, loves
that
to see
burned
children
them, that
home.
Molested them,
you
that did all
the
horrible things
woman
to them.
That would rather see children
you
homeless,
are another person
you would be the
that
kind
is
of
doing
woman
the horrible things
threw your
to
own
them.
Children out into the street because you couldn't deal with them. We deal with the children. We help them find a home. And, ma'am, wouldn't you rather see these kids show their dancing or vacuuming skills than rot in a foster home getting cigarette burns? You
oh,
can't answer,
is that
you can't
what you're saying?
That.
Are you saying that all the foster homes are giving them cigarette burns?
You can't answer that, can you?
Can,
given the
no,
choice,
are you
given the
saying
choice, given the
that they are giving them cigarette burns? Then there
well,
is
sure,
something wrong
foster,
with our government that
foster,
is putting them
oh,
there,
so what are you
and
doing
they
about
should
it?
Be put in a safe
well, what are
place.
You doing, what are you doing
that
about
you are exploiting
what
children
are you doing about
for
it,
money.
You're doing nothing about it? I'm helping them, even if they're adopted by gays.
All right.
What's wrong with gays?
Oh, you mean you like somebody? I thought you hated children. I'm
no, no, no.
Get,
I
no.
hate you,
you
for
hate
exploiting
children.
Children.
You hate children. And I
no,
think
I hate you
no,
for
you
exploiting
children.
Children.
You hate children.
I have two of my own children.
Have
I have had
children?
Many foster children.
All right,
and I have never burnt them.
Can I ask you a question? How many cigarettes have you butted on a kid's rear end? Just in a ballpark.
Well, that's
do
the
what?
Most. That is the.
How many cigarettes have you butted out on a kid's rear end?
That is the most
lot.
Inflammatory.
I have never butted anything out. These kids still come to my house.
How many cigars?
All right. You know, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about you. You're exploiting kids, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to make these children into something that is put on display.
Phil, I said to you at the beginning that this program combined the very best aspects of public service and commercial entertainment. I said that at the beginning. And there is nothing exploitive about children being adopted. Also, there's nothing exploitive about children being adopted for the entertainment of people.
And for the entertainment of people, I'd have my heart in my throat. Or yeah, my heart would be in my throat. That's what, or my throat would be in my heart. But I would feel bad for these kids.
You'd feel bad when a child is adopted?
Yeah, I would.
Why?
Because any couple that would adopt a kid in a format like that, I don't even know what they got planned for the kid. Are they going to make him work around the house? Are they going to?
Phil, you've got the wrong idea. These are children who are going to be treated beautifully. And they're going to, whether they're adopted by the gay, whether they win the consolation round, which is the homosexuals, or whether they win round A, which is a heterosexual couple, they're treated well.
Here's Kobe on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Man, you've got to tell me this is a joke. Please tell me this is a joke.
So we've got a program that we think combines the very best aspects of public service with commercial television. And if you think children being adopted is a joke, then I suppose it's a joke.
No, I don't think children being adopted is a joke.
If you think children being adopted and put into a decent home is a joke, then I suppose
not at all. Not at all. And I promise you, I won't talk over you like the previous caller.
Well, that's what you're inferring.
No. What I'm saying is, and you don't know my background, I was adopted. My children were adopted. I adopted my children.
Are you able to have children?
All my siblings have been adopted.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, I don't get that. Aren't you able to have children?
Well, that's beside the point. The point is that adoption is good.
Why would you have a real kid?
But when you put kids that have had trauma in their life, like being rejected by parents, being sexually abused,
why wouldn't
or cigarettes,
you, have a real kid
you love the cigarette. You love
kid.
The cigarette example.
Right. Exactly. We don't do that.
Well, of course not. Hopefully not. But I wish you could use that example.
Adopted children, as you know, are not loved as much as real children, but at least they're loved.
Well, adopted
children. All
right,
hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The show is called "Will You Be My Mommy?" We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tony Neal is the producer of a show called Reality TV. A producer of a show called Will You Be My Mommy? It's a reality TV show where the children get up and they... it seems like they're having... You say that children try to prove that they're good enough to be adopted as opposed to what happens in society that the parents have to prove that they're good enough to adopt a child.
That is correct, Phil, but I think it's a lot less exploitive than what you think. The children are allowed to show what they've got. For the first time in their lives, they're not beaten into submission, they're not burned with a cigarette, they're allowed to show who they are. And a lot of times the couples, for instance, can request, will the child dance for us? Or can the child sing a song for us? Will the child...
Oh, come on.
No, Phil, this is very...
Oh, come on, dance for us.
Phil, there are children talent shows, there are...
Yeah, JonBenet Ramsey.
Phil, this has nothing to do with JonBenet Ramsey. That is absolutely, absolutely uncalled for. This is about a child...
So, in other words, I'm one of the husband of the couple. You know, not really decided on this kid. Have him tap dance for me.
It's Star Search with a better prize, Phil. That's what it is. It's Star Search. With a better prize. It's Star Search, where you win a family. You don't win a convection oven. You don't win a car. When we get into the sweeps, I'm going to tell you something, Phil. I've been a producer in this town for 20 years. The reason why I've survived is I know how to grab an audience. Sweeps month is coming up in May. And once the child gets chosen by the adoptive parents and wins, we bring out the child's real mother, and then the child gets to choose. Which is what, how do you like that?
Wait a minute. So now the couple adopts him. Now the real mother comes out and we tell, what do? You tell the kid?
We tell the child, here's your real mommy. Wouldn't you rather be with her? Then it really gets interesting.
It's confusing.
Phil, believe me, there's not a dry eye in the house.
1-800-449-8686. Patrick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Are you talking to Pat?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I just want to say that I'm a retired Roman Catholic priest.
Why are you retired?
I'm 79 years of age, and I want to tell you, I'm in Denver, and I want to tell you that this, you are lower than and selling pornography on television. Pornographers are at least honest to what they're selling, but I you ought to be hung. I'm against the death penalty, and yet I'd waver on the death penalty for you.
This is the lowest I've ever heard
on television.
Well, I understand, but isn't it kind of like the pot calling the kettle black?
Oh, it is not like
well,
the pot calling the kettle
black. Well, you with that whole Catholic priest thing. Now, come on.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. What, are you shopping to adopt a boy for yourself?
Oh, now, come on. Wait a second.
Now, you know what I'm talking about. This guy's a priest.
Hold on for a minute.
See, Phil, this is exactly why I said what I said. This is the lowest form I've ever heard of.
We're giving a child.
Oh, you're not giving
father.
A child anything. You're exploiting a child.
We're not exploiting a child.
You're not giving that child
exploiting
anything.
Exploiting a child. How are we exploiting
and then
the
you're
child?
Bringing out the then you're bringing out the mother and having the child choose between this couple and the mother.
It's fantastic.
Gosh, if this isn't the most pathetic I've ever heard in my life.
It's the greatest television
you could
watch.
That's enough, Phil. I'm tired of this.
The greatest television you could watch, Father, all right?
It beats
Cruising for Altar Boys on a Friday night.
This is as sickening as I've ever heard of.
It's a program.
I've heard of a lot of things, but I don't know of anything more sickening than this.
How about giving an altar boy oil sex?
All right, enough of that.
Boy, this is beautiful. This is the type of guy with the mouth and the mind he's got. He's the type that's going to do something for children.
Father.
He's the type that's going to exploit children until he gets the last dollar.
Father, would you stay on the line because I have another Roman Catholic priest. This is Father McQuarters.
Okay.
Father McQuarters, you there?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Well, I was listening to your program, and I heard this man, and I thought I was doing all right until I heard this man, who I think I agree with the father that this is the worst kind of almost like auctioning a slave. It's almost as if we're back in the slave times.
Well, Father, both of you are Roman Catholic priests. I don't think you have a leg to stand on.
And what's that supposed to mean? What is that supposed to mean, sir?
You know what it means. We had this whole sex thing.
Wait a minute. You're not indicting these men. These men just because they're priests?
You guys can't say anything because listen, what you guys have been up to,
I haven't been up to anything. And I think...
Neither am I, and I think
what you're saying is a blasphemy. And I think what you're saying is a slander, and I think you should be investigated by the authorities.
I do too, Father.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you something else. If I were there, right now, where you are, Mr. Neal, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of our Lord, and I believe essentially in the word to turn the other cheek, but I would take my knee and drive your gonads so...
Come on now, both of you guys.
I swear to God, this guy has pissed me off so much.
Get a load of this guy.
You've made these people angry, and you've indicted both of these men as being molesting priests because you got a show that exploits children.
I'm taking children. They tap dance to get a home. What's wrong with that?
They tap dance to get a home.
You make a child tap dance?
They're braided out in a bathing suit, too, aren't they?
That'd be something that'd gun your engine, wouldn't it?
Oh man, you guys are really something else.
You're about as foul as I've ever heard in my life.
Father, you're absolutely... You know something, Mr. Neal? I don't know where you work, but I'm going to call the office you work at tomorrow, and the network that picks up your program, I can assure you we will have a boycott, advertiser boycott, the likes of which you've never seen.
Oh, they tried to boycott me with Married with Children. It didn't work.
So you did Married with Children. That was a piece of vulgar garbage as well. And if I were where you are right now, I would take your face and rake it across a picket fence. What do you think of that?
I'd join you.
There you go. Because there's a time when, as our Lord threw the money changers out of the temple, there's a time for righteous anger.
Well, I can't say as I blame you, gentlemen. I think that...
Wait. You're taking the side of these two poobahs? These two guys that are chicken hawks?
What do you mean, chicken hawk?
Oh, I know what he's doing. He says we're out cruising for boys. You know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to call the company you work for, and I will assure them that the entire Archdiocese of Los Angeles, California, will be up in arms when your program is on the air, you piece of walking excrement.
That's a good, good description,
Father. Father, you know what I think? I think the Lord rested on the seventh day, and I think he squatted to take a dump, and this guy came out.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
If I saw you in a dark alley, I'd grab a pair of chain cutters and I would remove whatever little manhood you've got. Goodbye. Good Lord.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
You can all go to hell. Remember, Wednesday nights at 9.
On the seventh day, the Lord rested. I have to admit, I took that line from Gangs of New York. All right, anyway, that was me doing the voice of Father McQuarters and of Tony Nails. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
All right, I want to get to Lloyd. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Lloyd.
Yes, sir. I wanted to shift gears a little bit and get it off the pornography, if I could.
Can I ask you just a quick question, and I'll let you say whatever you want?
You know, sir, if you're going to ask me about pornography, I'd rather...
Well, I just wondered, have you ever had porn?
No, sir, I have not.
You've never had it on your
No, sir, I have not. I'm a married man of 43 years. I raised a daughter to be a good woman. I'm a Korean War veteran. No, sir, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
Well, can I ask you this, sir?
Sir, I called up...
Can I just ask you one thing? When you were in the Korea, you say a Korean veteran?
Yes, sir. I served with the United States Navy. It was at Chosin Reservoir when we evacuated the Marines out of there.
All right. Congratulations and thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Did you ever get, like a prostitute or something?
You know, Mr. Henry, I enjoy listening to your program.
Yeah.
But I think you're asking a very personal question. And tell you something right now, and I would go even further. If you were standing in front of me and asking me that question face to face, then I would hurt you in ways. So could I get on?
I didn't want you to hurt me. I just wondered. That's all. If you had availed yourself in those ways, but you're right. Didn't want to offend you.
Well, you already have, sir.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
Could I go on with my point?
Go ahead.
I was calling originally, sir, to let seniors know something that they can save some money. And let me tell you this, there's a motel chain, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but my wife and I travel to Portland once a year to visit my daughter. She lives up there with her husband, and we have a grandson there as well. And we use the recreational vehicle.
Okay.
And there's a motel chain, and they've been lying through their teeth like liars for years about their prices. And I don't like liars. Now, they tell you...
Well, what are they lying about?
Well, they make you believe that what they're doing... what they say is they call themselves... like they have one price, but they really don't have the price.
Okay, I don't understand, but...
Well, look, my wife and I, we don't stand on ceremony. We get going, and we're on our way to Portland. Now, I pulled into this motel, and they charge $43.99 a night. Yellow.
I'm here. What do you want me to say?
$43.99 a night for one person. You know, so...
okay, so...
So, and for two people, they charge $49.99 a night. And that is highway robbery. They might as well take a gun and put the barrel in my mouth. So let me tell you what we did, and I want that motel chain to know we did this. And they know who they are when they heard me quote those prices.
All right, don't mention any names.
No, I won't.
So what did you do?
I pulled into the Motel 6 over here in Red Bluff, California a week ago. I had my wife lay down on the seat so they couldn't see that there was another person. Pulled down away, far away from the office. Now, I got out of the car, closed it and left the keys there in case my wife had to move the rig, because we've got a 35-footer. Got an Airstream on the back, which I got at a...
Okay, just tell me what you did when you got into the motel.
Anyway, I go down to the motel and I say to the young man there, single please, and he says something smart-ass like, okay, pops, which I didn't want to start a fight because then I'd get thrown out. He gives me the key, I go down, now I got a single for $43.99, and guess what I did?
You went to the car, got your wife out of it, and brought her into the room.
And I guess you think you're pretty GD smart for figuring that out. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, good for you. So you screwed them out of their $6.
You better got go. Boy, did I love it. I loved it no end. So they know who they are, the motel chain, and they can kiss my sweet, wrinkled ass on Main Street because I don't care. For them to say that they charge a certain price when they don't,
well, I think I know who you're talking about, although there's several of them that have a number in their name, shall we say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't think it's fair to assume that that number represents the price per night.
Oh, baloney. That's exactly what they said when they first put the things in. No. You can't.
And as a matter of fact, they may be a sponsor of ours. They're still a very, very...
Well, I don't give a sweet Christ if they're a sponsor of yours.
But the fact is, it's still a really good buy, isn't it?
Not good enough for me. They might as well take a gun and cram it right up by you-know-what and say, yeah, can we have all the money in your wallet for what I'm pulling in a 30-foot rig?
Look, it's $6, sir, to get two beds, just a $49.99 for two people instead of $43.99 for a single.
Uh-huh.
And that's too much.
You know, yes, it's too much. Whatever, who am I talking to myself? Yes, it's too much. Most seniors are on a fixed income, sir, but you wouldn't know what that is, would you? Since you probably take your paycheck, go down to the bank and have it cashed out into entire cash, money, and just spend it on liquor. So you run through thousands of dollars in one night.
That's what I do, pal.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Hey, well, let me see. Congratulations on sticking it to some motel chain for $6.
I bet you think that's small potatoes, don't you?
I think it's not worth it for your wife to sleep on the floor, and you get to sleep in the bed.
Yeah, look, if they want an extra $6 for my wife Gladys to lay her head on a pillow, tell you what, they're going to have to get their clothes off.
All right. That's great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We got Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us. The Citizens Auxiliary Police, now in its sixth year as a volunteer police agency that is assisting the police in matters of crime and crowd control. And Admiral Santos, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thanks for having me on your program.
A lot of kids are being abandoned these days. We see children being abandoned in malls, children abandoned in supermarkets, children abandoned in this child in Utah. Did you read that story?
I did see it briefly, Phil, and that is a case that we've had under review for a while. But I want to stop you right where you're at there, Phil, and talk a little bit about the reasonings for this, because we are actively on this. Citizens Auxiliary Police been on this for a while.
When you say you're on it, what are you, you're...
Well, we're looking into the idea of so-called abandoned children. One of the things that any parent knows, and I think we got to kind of, be honest about it, is that children can be very hostile. It is our contention, as is the contention of many parents, many psychologists, that children, many children, had a fundamental hostility toward their parents. The reason for this is we live in a day and age where the children are very spoiled. The children have more than they've ever had before, and they want more than they've ever had before. And they cry and they whine and they wet their pants or they do whatever they do to get what they want. And as a parent, I can tell you, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, Phil, you have four children of your own, you get a little tired of it. You get tired of hearing it, you get tired of looking at it, you get tired of dealing with it. That gentleman in Utah, other parents who take their children into malls, I think you have to understand the mindset we do at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You walk into a mall with a child, you walk out free. And what that means, Phil...
What do you mean walk out free? You're abandoning a child.
You are abandoning a child, but parents are... And I'm not condoning it. I'm not condoning it. But I'm saying parents are driven to this by a generation of children that are increasingly demanding and are increasingly upsetting their parents and making life just a little bit miserable for them.
All right, now you guys are involved in looking for lost children, right? So when you find a lost child, are you looking for the parent?
Well, let me just say this. In my line of work, law enforcement, you don't make that assumption that that child may not be lost. I don't automatically make the assumption the child is lost. See, I look at it a little bit different. And I'm looking at it the way I just told you. Maybe that child was left there on purpose. If the child was left there on purpose, what did the child do? So everybody talk about the parent, let me talk about the child and what they might have done to have influenced or otherwise pushed that adult into making a drastic but nonetheless a life-saving decision, possibly in a different situation, about getting rid of that kid or the kid's going to straighten out. Now, we find children...
You are sounding as if you understand a parent that would abandon a child.
Don't get me wrong, Phil. I understand it's a tough decision. It's not my place to judge. If I find a child that's lost, I got to make a judgment call. Was the child lost? Now, hear what I'm saying, Phil.
I'm listening.
Was the child lost? Or was the child abandoned? If a child lost, child go back parent. If a child abandoned, who am I to say? So,
do you return the child? When you find out, you guys are in malls, you guys are...
That's correct, Phil.
You guys are all over the place. You find a child, do you return the child?
We take the child to a 24-hour cool-down that would be one of our residences to determine whether that child was abandoned or where the child lost.
Let's say the kid was abandoned.
All right.
Let's say the kid was abandoned. It's against the law. It is against you don't abandon a child.
Well, you don't automatically return a child. Here's a mistake I think law enforcement makes. A lot of these children, look, I've been a parent a long time. You got to listen to it morning, noon, and night. I want this, I want that, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. I want a toy, I want to get some gum, I want a candy bar. I want to get a toy and a candy bar. Let me tell you something, as a parent, there are days when, you just sort of kind of grab a hold of the sides of the table and you want to scream.
I understand that.
Those are the days when I understand any man or woman naturally would want to just open the door and let their child wander off. So I have to determine that before we return a child.
All right, so you find a lost child. You determine that, yes, the guy says, yes, we abandoned our child. We did it on purpose. What do you do then?
At that time, I'll give a tip of the cap, say thank you very much. Didn't mean to bother you. We return the child to the mall.
Okay, I would question whether that is legal or not.
I would question whether or not it's any of your business, my business. My business, return child, parent one. Not business mine, return child, parent no one.
All right, we're talking with Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police, 1-800-449-8686. Who among us have not lost a child? Who among us have not frantically looked for a lost child? There are some parents who purposefully abandon children. Is it our business to return that child to that parent if they don't want the child any longer? Or do we just return the child to the spot where the child was lost?
Can I interrupt, Phil?
Go ahead.
When I was a young parent, my son, we were driving down, we were going to Yosemite, and my son was acting up in the back seat, and he was driving me out of my mind, and he was just driving me out of my mind. And I pulled over to a rest stop, and I said, you know what, I'm going to leave you here, and I'm going to leave. And we did. We left. I went 15 miles down the road. Now, that child obviously was frightened. But I turned around, I came back, and I saw him walking through the parking lot, frightened, scared, crying. Then I got back to the parking lot. Guess who he appreciated?
You.
You better believe it. He appreciated me more because I left him there. A lot of these kids don't appreciate how good their life is unless they're abandoned, left there to think about how they've been, and only then do the parents get the right appreciation. So what I recommend more than anything else is that the child, not the parent, reexamine their motives.
You got a 3-year-old child that has been left in a mall because he's been acting up, because the parents can't take it any longer.
That's correct.
3-year-old child who's been screaming and yelling and wanting candy, so the parent just says, I can't stand it anymore. They leave that child in that mall. You condone that?
I'm not saying I condone it. I understand it. It's perfectly natural to simply want to just leave the kid where you found him. It's perfectly natural to just say, you know something, you're on your own, bucko. Get in the car and drive away. There's nothing I would say that is unusual about that. There's nothing I'll say is different about that. It happened.
Well, it may happen. I mean, Jay...
Phil, hold on for a minute. I've been on the front line of law enforcement for almost 6 years, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I have understood the motivations of people. Myself, along with Major Elvis Newton, Brigadier Admiral Popolney, and a number of other people, and I have looked at this problem.
Well, I am not in law enforcement. I you're a volunteer police officer.
That is correct.
You have citizens' arrest abilities?
That is correct.
But to take a child that is lost, bring him back, and you take the child back to your residence?
We bring the child back to our residence, to our substation, or to our substation vans, yes.
Then you determine who the parents are.
Correct.
Then you call them up and you say, we found your kid. Did you leave the kid on purpose, or is he lost?
Well, we don't. We say, is your child lost? If they say yes, hey, we say, well, you know, we got your kid here. It's your funeral. Go ahead and give the kid back. But then we'll also say to them, if your child is not lost, do you want the package returned? So we'll give them an out. We'll let them say, no, I don't want the package returned. Say, gotcha. Nod and a wink. We take the kid back to the mall. I tell you right now, I think it's a great way to go.
I don't even understand where it is you're going. You're saying you're going to take a child back to the mall and leave the kid there if the parent abandoned the kid.
That is correct. And I think the biggest mistake we can make, as a society, is when we find a child that's been abandoned by an adult, to force that kid back into the life of that adult. That adult has tried to solve a problem. And now what do? We come in, we stick our big nose in.
All right, Jay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Children are abandoned. You heard the story about the kid in Utah every day. Are they abandoned for good reason? The Citizens Auxiliary Police seem to think so. They seem to think that these kids act up. They're spoiled. They're whiny. They demand things. It's perfectly natural for a parent to just wander into a mall with a kid, leave him there, and leave. On the other end of the stick, though, there are some children who are legitimately lost. Does the Citizens Auxiliary Police have the right to determine whether they're lost or not and return them or not? I think any kid obviously needs to be returned to their rightful parent. 1-800-449-8686. Is there a time when kids, it's okay to abandon them because they've just become too much of a pain? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So a kid gets abandoned. We've seen kids abandoned in malls all the time.
I understand that, Phil. You don't need to recount the you know, contemporary history to me.
No, but some of these kids deserve it?
If you are there with your parents while they're trying to drive a car or trying to get some shopping done, and you are being screaming, like we've all seen these kids that scream and whine. Let me tell you something. Abandoning these child is probably the best thing ever happened to them. It's better for the parent and child to be left. All right, never mind.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Lee on the Phil. Or hold on for a minute. Here is Nancy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Nancy, hello. She's not there? Okay, great. Here is Lee. Hello. Lee, you there?
Yeah, I'm Lee.
Okay, what do you go? Go.
Look, if you bring a child into the world, it's your responsibility to raise that child. And because that child does something wrong or gets out of line in your car, you're out of control. You can't do that. That's your
wait a second. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sit there and listen? Am I supposed to sit there and listen to it?
That child that you see, you should.
Well, wait a minute. What am I supposed to sit there and listen to it?
No.
Yeah, you're supposed to sit there and listen to it. You're the parent.
No, you don't have to sit there and listen to it. You pull over and you handle it like you should see fit.
I did. I left the child there to give him a hint as to just what it's like to appreciate their mother and father. See, kids don't appreciate their mothers and fathers. They're spoiled rotten. They live in a world where they get everything they want. So, you know, these kids obviously do not appreciate what they have.
You don't abandon a kid because he doesn't appreciate what he's got.
Absolutely not. I agree 100%.
All right, thanks for your call. Here is Michael on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, listen, you got kids getting snatched out of their own driveways, kids getting snatched out of their own bedrooms, and here you got this clown leaving his kid at a rest area and driving 15 miles away. God only knows who can get your hand on this kid.
How come the kid is allowed?
How do you get back?
Why are the kids allowed to bother the parents?
What do you mean the kid's allowed? What did you? Were you brought into this world a 30-year-old man, or were you brought into this world?
I can tell you that I wasn't.
You were a child at one point, weren't you, sir?
That is absolutely correct, sir. But I was
obviously.
I was not sitting in the back seat bothering my daddy.
How do you remember? You can't possibly remember. The
how
human
do you know
being
that?
Can't remember memories before the age of six. Which means
that
you could have done the same thing.
Well, I don't know where you heard that before the age of six. That is absolutely not true.
Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, my concern is that this gentleman is an idiot. If he has a child...
I'm an idiot. I'm trying to teach these children not to bother the parents.
No, let me finish, please. If you have a child who is bratty and wants gimme, gimme, and throws fists all the time, then you have failed as a parent in your parenting skills to teach that child how to behave. If you want to leave a child on a front porch and lock a door because he thinks it's better somewhere else, that's fine. But I think you're very lucky that leaving your son 15 miles down the freeway, that you're very lucky your child is not on the face of a milk carton.
Look, I knew that child would still be there because
no,
you want to know how I knew?
That child would be there. You only knew that you were going to go back. You did not know that child was going to be there.
You want to know how I knew?
I had my child abducted in the middle of in the middle with my husband changing a tire.
Your child was abducted. What'd you do wrong?
My husband was at a gas station in the middle of the city changing a tire.
All right, and why weren't you there?
I was at choir practice.
Oh, good.
What kind of a mother does that make you? I'll tell you.
Standing around singing stupid songs while your kid's getting raped or whatever.
You know what?
Oh, come on. Have some sensitivity.
Yeah, let's get real here.
This lady's talking to me about. Oh, I want to get real. You say your kid was abducted?
My child was taken. My husband did catch the guy, thank goodness. And my son was 2 years old, trapped in the car. But that's not the point.
I would suggest, ma'am, that your son was acting up so much that your husband wanted that child to be taken.
If that's what you believe, God help the police department. They need to fire you and let you go now.
I'm with the citizens, officer. I happen to bring it to your apple.
Anytime you take a child back to a mall and leave him alone, you have caused that child to be put in danger. You ought to be thrown in jail, not all working for the police force, if that's the way you feel.
I'd like to say at this time, Nancy, that...
If you have a child that you can't control, that is your responsibility for not being a proper parent. You should teach your children how to...
Nancy, I'd like to say at this time, he's not a police officer.
Yes, I am a police...
You're a volunteer police officer with an organization that's not aligned with the police.
We're members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I have the rank of Brigadier Admiral, and what we do to try to save the lives of people is to ensure that these children who think they can run around and act any way they want to learn a lesson. Now, your son was abducted. You might as well, if he's out there, your husband's changing tire, you might as well put a sign that says free kid on him.
You know what? My husband was in a gas station with free gas station attendants around, and that's not the point. The point is this.
Are you sure your husband didn't want the child abducted?
You want to willingly take a child and put him back in a circumstance where he is in jeopardy. Not because he doesn't know, not because he's being bratty, but because he hasn't been taught not to be a brat. So therefore, you need to take the responsibility as the parent. If you're going to take the responsibility to have a kid, then you need to take the responsibility.
Ma'am, I've got to ask you again. Are you sure your husband did not want that boy?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure.
How do you know?
You know what I think?
That question's insulting.
It's an insulting question.
It's not an insulting question.
He was not causing any problems.
How do you know? You're a choir. You're up in a choir loft singing,
bringing
in the
sheets. Because you don't know what you're talking about.
Ma'am, I'm a brigadier admiral.
You ought to be a brigadier jerk is what you ought to be.
I am a brigadier admiral.
All right, so you're a brigadier admiral in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're not an official police officer.
That makes you a nothing. It makes you a brigadier nothing.
I dropped my son off at a bar for 2 hours once, and when he made his way home... No, excuse me.
You're an idiot.
You have to listen.
You're lucky your son isn't on a milk carton.
Let me tell you.
Being in a creek somewhere with his body dismembered.
That boy wandered home,
and
he never bothered me again.
Well, that's twice you've left him.
You've left him twice, yeah.
So the first time, it obviously didn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you are saying...
whatever you're doing, your son doesn't respect you either.
Ma'am, my son respects me to the point where he doesn't bother me.
I don't think so. Not if you had to leave him twice and he doesn't bother you. You know what?
I know how to discipline my boy.
Children aren't supposed to bother you. Your responsibility as a parent to teach your children.
My son called me from an adult bookstore.
What you're saying is, as soon as you can't stand your child... you're leaving him on a roadside somewhere, and that's the way you handle things.
Now, the way to discipline a child is to abandon him in an open mall or parking lot so he gets a real sense of...
Sure.
Okay.
And then let somebody grab him. Talk to John Walsh. See if John Walsh would agree with you.
Did John Walsh abandon his son? Did John Walsh abandon his son? I don't think so. I think John Walsh was trying to...
Well, how do you know that? Were you there?
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying that he did?
Were you there?
You better call John Walsh, Bill, because I think he's got a slander suit. This lady says that John Walsh abandoned his kid.
Were you there?
No, you think he abandoned his boy.
You asked me if my husband abandoned my son.
I need your name.
And you want to know
Wait a minute. I know that John Walsh story. John Walsh was with his boy in Florida. He didn't abandon his son.
That's right. And neither did my husband.
That's what this lady said.
No.
No, she did not.
The best way to discipline a child is to leave him out in an open tarmac and see how much he really appreciates you then.
Right.
All
right.
Nancy,
well,
thank you.
Well, I can tell it's not working for your child.
My son loves me.
1-800.
No, I think.
I don't think so.
1-800.
Obviously, you don't love him.
1-800-449-8686. One of the great discipline tools of all time, abandon your child in a department store or in a mall. It'll teach them to appreciate you, even if it puts their life at risk. I don't agree. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The trash grab room there.
Phil Henry here with Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're in a substation right now?
We are a substation, yeah.
Now, I heard you talking to one of what you call your sub-commanders. What is going on?
All right. It was Sub-Commander Johnson who has found a child in Eastwing Mall, and the child was holding onto his leg, and I said, take the kid off your leg, leave him there.
Leave the child there, why?
Because really none of our business. People did not seem to want the child back.
So this is the thing that most people don't get. You're leaving a child in the middle of a mall.
It's none of my business if a parent want to abandon him. Now, we are, Phil, you have to understand something. Most children, very deep down, this is kind of psychology, which I don't know if you understand or not, but I understand psychology. Most children, deep down, hate their parents. Now, it's a...
Well, I don't believe that.
No, it's a Sigmund Freud, who was a psychiatrist, he said it. He said it. Kids hate their parents, and boys, especially, want to have sexual relations with their mother. The sons want to commit murder on the father because the boys want to have sexual relations with their mother, too, as well as the father want to have sexual relations with the mother, so the boy and the father want to kill each other.
I'm familiar with Sigmund Freud's concepts about Oedipal, etc., complexes. This has got nothing to do with this. It's about abandoning children.
No, but I'm telling you the basic hostility of children, that they want to commit murder.
A three-year-old kid? Hard to believe.
Well, not a three-year-old. So you have to understand, it's not a three-year-old child, but it is a subconscious deal. It's a subconscious deal.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jason, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with Jay Santos. Jason?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of things. I think this guy here should have been left in the mall when he was a kid.
Well,
maybe he would have got the picture what's going on.
What's that got to do with it?
What that has to do with it is put yourself in the kid's situation. And it's nobody's business that you want to have sex with your mother, okay, buddy?
Hey, I don't want to have sex with my mother. That's Sigmund Freud. You ever heard of him?
Oh,
yeah, probably not.
Buddy, okay?
Probably not.
One thing you have to understand.
I read books.
Okay, I am a sheriff officer, okay?
You're a sheriff officer?
Let me explain something to you,
buddy. Are you a sheriff's department officer?
Let me explain something to you.
I don't believe you're a sheriff.
You are not a law enforcement agent. If you came down here to Wichita, Kansas, I would arrest you myself.
For what? What charge? Yeah, you don't even know.
Okay, you're sitting around and telling me it's none of your business that parents... The reason why it's none of your business is because you're not a law enforcement agent. You can't do nothing about it.
All right, look. At least I have a uniform.
You're General look, and Mr. Custer and Mr. Green
Jean. Hey, I'll tell you something, sir. I don't have a closet full of fake police officer uniforms like you do. What do you got, your Kansas State Patrol uniform one day, and the next day you got Wichita Police uniform the next day?
Oh, yeah. I got them all, you know. But one thing you have to understand, okay?
Let me tell you something.
I have not gotten any training. You probably can't even carry a gun.
Sigmund Freud can't do nothing. Sigmund Freud had something called the Oedipal Complex. Every young boy want to have his mother for a night.
It's not called the Oedipal Complex. It's the Oedipus Complex.
What does that have to do with dropping your kids off in the mall and going somewhere?
Because the child wants to have his mom and he wants to kill his dad. There's hostility. And the children are so hostile that they want to make it hard for the father to drive or whatever. So the father is driven to distraction and eventually has to drop the child off at a mall so he doesn't go cuckoo.
Okay, let me explain something to you. Kids are not good. Kids are essentially bad, but you make them good and you instill goodness in them. You said earlier that when you were in the back seat, you didn't mess with your dad, probably because he would turn around and slap the crap out of you.
No.
You understand what I'm telling you?
I understood my father needed to keep his mind and his eyes on the road, so I did not distract my father.
That's fine.
Okay?
But when you're turning around telling people it's none of your business...
Hey, if you're a police officer, where's your radio?
Where's my radio? Oh, I'm retired.
Okay, do you hear this? That's my radio.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great. That's your radio.
What do you mean you're retired? Would you chicken out in the line of duty and they pushed you to a desk job? What happened? You sound very young.
Well, that's a real insult to say to that guy.
Well, he does. He doesn't sound much more than 40. How old are you?
I'm 47.
What'd you do, shoot a kid by mistake or something?
I wish it would have been your kid.
Wish it would have been my kid?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something, Punch.
You need to stop. You need to stop your reproduction right now. Okay?
Hey, Punch. Hey, Punch. Why don't you lose some weight? I think you're too chubby for that scooter.
Oh, too chubby for the scooter?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay,
just keep doing what you're doing, and when you piss off one of these parents,
they're gonna
take care of their own matters.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jason.
See you later, Punch.
Listen.
All right, bud.
Thank you, Jason. What is the point of antagonizing people?
This guy calling up with all kind of stuff. You don't know what he's talking about.
Are you speaking English, man? So, you know, I don't understand.
I'm speaking the language of parents who've had it up to here, right here, with these kids.
1-800-449-8686. Tanya, go ahead. You're on the phone. Or Tanya, excuse me.
That's okay. Hi. Thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
Very much.
Hi.
I think this guy, there's something wrong with him. I mean, there are people out there that are dying to have children, and this man is saying that he would abandon a child in a parking lot or in a mall. It's actually appalling. And I'm disgusted by this type of...
Well, ma'am, I got to explain the edible complex to you and to you.
Sorry?
I have to explain the edible complex to you.
No. You don't have to explain anything to me. In fact, I've heard it, and I've heard it over and over again. Your psychology is demented, okay? If you would apply some psychology that was actually, you know, that would work on your child, maybe then they wouldn't have to...
It does work. That's the edible complex.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? This is completely outrageous.
Ma'am.
This is criminal. I'm sorry, but I have to say to you that this is criminal negligence.
Criminal negligence.
Charged with criminal negligence for leaving your child in a mall. It is disgusting behavior.
I want to tell you a story. I'm driving down the street one day. I've got my 10-year-old son in the back, and he's got one of these water noodles. I don't know if you've seen a water noodle. It's very, very light, but at the very end, it can whip around and sting. And he's beating me over the head with a water noodle. Now, I got a decision to make, and being in law enforcement, my decision is sometimes split second. Do I continue to allow this child to beat me with this water noodle, or do I pull over, let him out, and take off? That's split second decision that every law enforcement officer got to make.
What do you mean the kid hit me with a water noodle, and I got to decide whether I'm going to pull over and let him off?
I don't understand.
I don't understand. I think this lady understands.
How does that teach a child? What are you teaching the child? Please explain to me.
I'm driving down the road. If the child hits me and that thing hits my eye, we die. We're in flames going off a bridge.
What is your psychology to use on the child? Please tell me.
It is the edible.
You're going to pull
it's
over
called
and
the
what?
Edible
what
complex. Complex. It's called the edible complex. What a mother. Do you have a son, ma'am?
No, I don't.
All right. When you have a son, he's going to want to have you. Now that's just the horrors to it.
Oh, you're sick.
Good Lord.
No, this is sickening. I can't believe there are people out there that actually talk like this.
You've never read Sigmund Freud.
No, it's not Sigmund Freud, first of all. Like,
it's
you know,
the doctor who came up with the edible complex said...
It's Oedipus, not edible.
Okay.
Oedipus was a Greek guy.
Jeez, what an idiot. You really are a Greek guy.
You do.
What an idiot.
Yeah, absolutely.
What an idiot.
Listen, all I...
Now what?
I'm out of here. Freaking jackass. It's called edible.
Oedipus!
Listen to her laughing. She doesn't mind about kids being abandoned. Do you, ma'am?
I don't mind. Sorry?
Look, the edible complex is when the mother has sex with a boy and the father, who is syphilis, tries to push a rock up a mountain over and over again. That's the myth of syphilis.
But sir, what are you trying to say? What psychology are you trying to use?
It's Sigmund Freud. And syphilis was...
Sisyphus!
What?
Thank you.
I didn't...
What? You're not explaining yourself. You're saying Sigmund Freud, but you're not trying to explain yourself.
Thank you.
Look, it ain't Sisyphus. It's not syphilis. Hello? Syphilis pushed a rock up a mountain. It's the myth of... It's Sisyphus. 1-800-449-8686. It's a guy named gonorrhea. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. Four.
949-8686. And now, Phil Henry.
Interesting post on a forum that we were reading this past 24 hours. And it's about the SUVs and the cost of gasoline. And somebody posted the names of the major oil companies and how many barrels of oil they have imported for their companies from the Middle East for a period of what looks to be 1 year. And then it posts the names of companies that do not import oil from the Middle East. Now, who knows if this is true, but the individual that posted this says you can cite this information with the Department of Energy. Each company is required to state where they get their oil and how much they are importing. They report on a monthly basis, and then the person goes on to say, keep this list in your car. According to this list, Shell Oil, the Shell Oil Company, is the number one importer of oil from the Middle East, at least was, during a period lasting from September 1st, year 2000 to August 31st, 2001. 205 million barrels, about 206 million barrels of oil. Next was Chevron Texaco, 144 million barrels. Then ExxonMobil, 130 million barrels. Then Marathon Speedway. You ever heard of that oil company? It might be a Midwest or a back east oil company. 117 million. Amoco, 62 million barrels of oil. Here are the large companies that do not import Middle East gasoline or oil or gas. Citgo, Sunoco, Conoco, Sinclair, BP, Phillips, and Hess. Out here in California, I think the only one we have is Sunoco. I know BP is back east and down south and up north as well, and the rest of them, I've seen Citgo and the rest of those guys they're all over the country. California's got, I think, like three, you know, gasoline companies here. But I thought I'd like to get your comments on that here at 1-800-449-8686 to find out, would you be willing to boycott these companies? Would you be willing to say, I do not want to buy Middle East oil, therefore I don't want to buy from these companies? Keep in mind, and you may want to get out a piece of paper and a pencil, Shell, Chevron, Texaco, ExxonMobil, Marathon Speedway. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here. RC is in Chatsworth. Hey, RC, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil. Great show as always.
Thank you.
I wanted to know if this gas was on the list.
All right, so I try to do something for people. I try to do something serious, and this is what I get. I try to come on with a serious topic, and I get Fart Boy from North Hollywood. That's great. And by the way, Chris, nice screen job yet again. Thank you very much for that. Getting back to what I was saying about oil and gasoline, would you be willing? Now, again, you can check this out with the Department of Energy. And each is required to state, these companies, where they get their oil and how much they are importing. They report on a monthly basis. It's very interesting. Is it time for us to make a statement? I personally think it is. Is it time for us to make a statement not only with the car we drive, but with the companies that we shop with in terms of oil? The Honda Hybrid, I mentioned to my guest last hour, I'd be very interested in buying a hybrid car. Okay, I don't want this kid on the air. What do you want?
I'm really sorry, Mr. Henry, and I'm very, very sorry.
Okay, well, that was crude and rude what you did. We're talking seriously.
I understand that, sir.
Crude and rude, you understand that?
Yes, sir, I do, and I'm sorry. Because my father works for the oil company, and I had a couple of ideas on what you're talking about. First of all, I don't think it's feasible, sir, that you can completely boycott all oil.
I'm not saying you boycott all oil. I'm saying you could boycott companies that are doing direct business with our enemy states, which I personally consider Saudi Arabia to be.
All right, there is some gas that comes from Venezuela that, as you know, they're having a hard time down there.
Well, Venezuela is having some internal strife.
But I think there is a company that people can use that none of it comes from the Middle East and doesn't come from a hostile government. It comes directly via pipeline from Canada.
Okay, well, what kind is it?
Well, it's this kind.
I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to... God, I want to kill. Get him off the phone. Get him out of there. Hang up on him. I'm going to tell you right now, Chris, you're fired. If this kid gets back on, you're fired. The kid can go and he can play his games. He can call anybody he wants. I'm trying to get something done here. I'm trying to do something worthwhile for a change on the show. Something worthwhile. Now, again, the companies are, and this is the kind of gas, folks, that you don't need for your car. This is... David,
Oh, just hold on.
David, I can't do it.
Just hold on for a minute. Now we're doing fart jokes. Last hour, Jillian Barbary, she's a skank, but now you're doing fart gags.
I'm not doing anything. The kid's calling in.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, right. I forgot. He's just a caller. You know something? I want you to wise up. Start doing some news talk and quit with this crap. You there?
I'm here.
Then do your show.
Hi, you're on the air.
You should use natural gas.
What?
What are you doing?
I didn't do it, the kid.
What are you doing?
The kid called in.
Oh, the kid called in. I'm sitting there trying to hear about gasoline, SUVs, manly stuff, and I got fart jokes. But, oh, by the way, guys, Jillian Barbary, she sucks. Yeah, this is what we get from the Phil Henry Show. Jillian Barbary's ugly, but listen to the fart noises.
I didn't do it.
Will you quit lying? Quit lying.
All right.
Just get back to whatever that crap was you're reading.
I'm talking about the Shell motor oil, you know, the Shell motor oil.
Was it this kind of gas?
All right. All of you can go straight to the living hell. I don't care. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.